Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. In chapter 4, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. The four winds represent war being poured out as part of God's judgment. So in other words, the wars haven't started yet. That the wind should not blow on the earth, that's Israel. On the sea, that's the Gentiles. Or in any tree, those are the kings and the nations that they represent. Let's take a moment and go back to Psalm 148, verse 8. Psalm 148, verse 8. Verse 8 begins, fire and hail, snow and cloud, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. The point that the psalmist is trying to make is when we have extreme weather hit the earth, like these floods that are destroying the croplands and the horrible heat that's coming in Australia and Europe to destroy crops, things like that, these are under God's control. The angels have control over the weather and these natural disasters to use them to call people to repentance. So let's go back to Revelation 7:1. So at the beginning of the tribulation period, I shouldn't put it that way, the beginning of the day of the Lord, when the trumpet blows and the believers are caught up, living and dead, and we have our judgment for our rewards. At that point, the Lord says, hold back the judgments, hold back the wars, hold back my wrath, because it's not time to release it yet. Verse 2, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, again Israel, the sea, the Gentiles, or the trees, the kings and their kingdoms, until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. What is the seal of the true and living God? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Right after Galatians, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Are we there? Not quite, everybody. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed how? By the Holy Spirit. Who gets sealed by the Holy Spirit? Believers. These 144,000 we're about to study about were not saved when the trumpet blew. But they saw the feet of those going, and they had enough Bible education, if you will, and enough
revelation from God that they go, we missed a boat. And it's going to be like the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road. The Lord's going to reveal himself in a very personal way, I'm sure. That's why the Bible describes in such detail how the Lord appeared to Saul on the Damascus Road and said, it's hard for you to kick against the goad. So they were not saved when the trumpet blew, but they immediately have an experience with the Lord and they get saved and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Say in Ephesians, go to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Again, just reiterating, when they seal them with the seal of the living God, is the Holy Spirit, it means they get saved. Didn't, before the rapture and resurrection, do immediately thereafter. There are so many Jewish people now that are like Gershon Solomon when he was interviewed, I think it was by Zola Levitt, who asked him, when Messiah comes, what's the first thing you're going to ask? And he said, is this your first coming or your second? So he was just right there on the threshold, but just couldn't bring himself to believe. But when the trumpet blows, they're going to believe. So also back to Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Verse 1 to 4. Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. Those who have charge over the city refer to angelic hosts. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. This lets you know they're not human beings. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side, and the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. So before the destruction comes to Jerusalem, the Lord marks with an inkhorn all those who have put their faith in him, that the judgments won't fall on them. That's the same thing that's happening in Revelation chapter 7. Let's go back to Revelation 7. Only they're not just marked with an inkhorn. Notice not a tattoo, but a magic marker. But in verse 2, then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea. The judgments, when they begin, are going to be controlled by the angelic hosts, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. What does it indicate on the forehead? Thoughts that direct their actions. That's right. Verse 4. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Can you tell me where all 12 tribes are today? No. But this tells us that God knows. God knows where they all are. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel are sealed. This is going to be like having 144,000 Apostle Pauls released upon the world. What did one Apostle Paul accomplish in his few years? Quite a lot. 144,000. They're going to take the gospel all over the world. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Judah's not the firstborn. Why do you think they're listed first? That's the line of Messiah, the line of the kings, the line of the rulers. They're going to lead the 144,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, what does Judah mean? A worshiper of God. Reuben, see a son. 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, wait a minute, who is Manasseh? That's one of Joseph's sons. 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph. That's Ephraim. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Manasseh is listed separately, so the other half of Joseph is Ephraim. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. What's the only tribe not listed? Dan. Let's go back and look at Genesis 49. And let me speculate on why Dan is not mentioned. I said speculate, not prove, because we can't prove it until it happens. We will say, oh, that's why. Genesis 49, verse 1. I keep forgetting that Jacob was a prophet, but he was. And Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the... Yeah, it's not the last days. It's the Acharit Hayamim. It is the end of days. So what you and I would call the day of the Lord. So he is going to prophesy what will happen to the 12 tribes at the time of the day of the Lord. If we come to verse 16... says, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. We know that happened in the past. Who was the judge that came from Dan? Samson. But as we come to the time then, it says, Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path. So where is Dan's heart? Is Dan's heart with God or with Satan? That bites the horse's heels, and its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. So to me, this says Dan is not going to side with the Lord and with his Jewish brethren in the tribulation period. Could I be wrong? Sure, I could. We'll find out, though. And let's go to Matthew chapter 24. As we talked about a few minutes ago, the mission of the 144,000 is to take the gospel message to the ends of the earth. That is Matthew 24:14. I know a lot of the gospel TV stations say our job is to take the gospel around the world so that the end times can come. But that's not what this verse is about. This verse is about the mission of the 144,000. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Isn't it just like God to make sure that the gospel message gets to every part of the world while there's still an opportunity for salvation? And by the time the tribulation period ends, everyone will have heard, and they will have one of two reactions to it. Yes or no? Yes or no? Now, if we go back to Revelation 7, it's going to tell us what's going to happen across the entire seven-year tribulation period. That's why they call it a parenthesis, because it's simply looking at the sealing of the 144,000 and their mission and what they accomplish. Verse 9, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. Why does it mention palm branches? When Messiah rode into Jerusalem, they waved the palm branches and screamed what? Hosanna, save us, please. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. How many people have gotten saved through the preaching of the 144,000? A countless multitude, a great multitude which no one could number. That gives me hope. I've heard, I'm sure you have too, that you can't be saved in the tribulation period because the Holy Spirit was taken out of the world. This tells us that countless multitudes will be saved. Verse 11, all the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. What's amen mean? So be it. It's true. Blessing and glory and wisdom. Thanksgiving and honor and power and might. That's a sevenfold adoration. Sevenfold adoration, just like the sevenfold Spirit of God. Be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Which means what? These 144,000 have brought countless multitudes who really, truly got saved, who understood the gospel, who understood how important it is to put your faith in God and not man. Even though For multitudes, it will cost them their very lives. They'll be beheaded if the false Messiah can catch them. And they say, yeah, but to lose a few years on earth, to gain an eternity in the kingdom, it's worth it. And then I love verse 13. Then one of the elders answered. Why do I love that? Because that's Hebrew. Nobody asks a question. The word answered in Hebrew does not necessarily mean somebody asked a question. It's a response to a situation. Answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? So John is seeing a countless multitude in the white robes. They got their palm branches. They're singing praises to the Lord. And one of the elders, which are some of the raptured and resurrected saints, says, who are these? And John's probably thinking he wants a list of names. But he doesn't. And I said to him, sir, you know, which means I don't have a clue, but I'm sure you do. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, they weren't saved when the trumpet blew, but they listened to the preaching of the 144,000 and they got saved, and they got saved properly. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Isn't that where Peter was told to eat a pig? No. Acts chapter 10. Start in verse 34. Who did the 144,000 preach to? Was it just to other Jews? No, verse 9 said, out of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. Everybody. Why? Acts 10:34. Peter had the vision. He saw the tallit come down from heaven with all kinds of animals on it, clean and unclean. And a voice from heaven said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And three times it said that. And three times Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Why didn't Peter take it as a commandment to eat the pig? He didn't, but why? Just keep a finger here and go back to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. Peter knew this was a test. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1, comes right after Deuteronomy 12, verse 32, which said, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So is God going to add commandments? No. Is he going to take away commandments? No. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, that is somebody who claims to have a message from God, like, oh, say, a voice from heaven, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, well, here's a tallit with all kinds of animals on it. That's a sign or a wonder. And the sign of the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. People kind of misunderstand. To go after other gods means to obey someone or something other than God, as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him. And of course, in 1 Kings chapter 13, remember the prophet getting eaten by the lion. Well, so does Peter. So back in Acts chapter 10, when the voice from heaven says, rise, Peter, kill and eat, Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common or unclean. And the response each time is, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. The traditional Christian theologian says that means the pig has been made clean. Is that what God said? No, it says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Verse 34 is the answer, the explanation. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, meaning whether we're born Jew or Gentile, that's not what's important to God. But in every nation, that includes the Gentile nations, whoever, I like that word, whoever, fears him, what's that mean, fears him? Is obedient to him, and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Yeshua the Messiah, he is Lord of all. Meaning all nations, Jew and Gentile alike. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Yeshua of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. See, this is what's happened in Revelation chapter 7. God could have just sealed everybody on earth. But he didn't. He sealed the 144,000, and they must go forth and witness, be a preacher witnessing to these things, and then people will either believe or not believe. The 144,000, they don't get a choice whether to believe or not. It's going to be like the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul when he was still called Saul. That's not a good way to put it. He was called Shaul among the Jews and Paul among the Greeks. Okay, I digress. Verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever, circle that word, whoever, believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. So the purpose of the vision in Acts chapter 10 was that the gospel message could go to the whole world. And that's the commission and the mission of the 144,000. They will put into action again Matthew chapter 28. So go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. And Yeshua came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, that's students, of all the nations, those are Gentiles, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Verse 20 says, teaching them to what? Observe all things that I have commanded you. When we come to Revelation 14:12, turn up there again for just a moment. Revelation 14:12, which says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. This verse causes a lot of Christian theologians to teach that only Jews can be saved during the tribulation period, no Gentiles. Because if Gentiles were saved, they wouldn't be keeping the law because it's been abolished. Do you see the inconsistency in how they're failing to apply Matthew 28 properly, as well as a proper understanding of Acts chapter 10? So let's go back to Revelation chapter 7. Verse 14. And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How did they make their robes white? In the blood of the Lamb, meaning salvation by faith, just as it's always been. Verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God. Where's the throne of God? It's in the temple in heaven. Why are they before the throne of God in the temple in heaven? That's where he is. It indicates that they have been martyred for their faith. Just as we read about in chapter 5 of Revelation, under the sixth seal. So it's telling us that these things are going on in parallel.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.